Chapter 4. Bunk Inspection Blues. Chedva had spent a good part of the night soaking in a tub of tomato juice. Although it hadn't really been Tippy's fault, after all, the idea of crawling under the bunkhouse had been totally Chedva's, she felt just a tad guilty about the episode. When Chedva returned to the bunkhouse in the wee hours of the morning, she found a can of lilac-scented talc on her pillow as a peace offering. The second day at Camp Tehillah did not get off to a promising start. Cleanup was not going well, and Chedva's strained nerves were getting frazzled. The old hands already knew the routines, but the newcomers had to be taught the details. Chedva explained the rotation of chores and set up a workshop to demonstrate the fine points of making hospital corners on the beds. Margalit tried to pay attention to the intricate procedures for correctly making a bed, but her mind kept wandering. She had never even attempted to make a bed before. Maria had always done it for her. But, she reasoned, what could be so hard about tucking a few layers of bedding around a mattress? She was to find out soon enough. Standing in front of her cot, Margalit poked the ends of the electric blanket under the mattress. Stepping back to survey her handiwork, she noticed that all the other girls were still hard at work. With a critical eye, Margalit had to admit that, although the edges of the blanket were invisible, they left a lot to be desired in the neatness department. She tried to ignore the sheepskin bunched up under the covers. The surface of the bed looked like a relief map of New York, with the Catskill Mountains protruding proudly in the center. What's the difference? Margalit shrugged. I'm the one who has to sleep in it. Besides, there was still the matter of her luggage. The other campers had emptied their bags the previous day. They had hung their dresses neatly in the closet and piled the rest of their possessions tidily in their cubbies. The suitcases and duffels were now piled on the porch, waiting to be put under the bunkhouse for storage. In light of last night's unfortunate occurrence, Chedva prudently asked the maintenance man to handle this chore for her. Margalit had used all of her allotted space in the closet. Her cubby was full, and still her Gucci bags bulged with an assortment of clothing, footwear, toiletries, and assorted odds and ends. The clothes she had worn the day before were strewn on the floor, and her purse dangled from the bedpost. Bunk inspection in 5 minutes, Chedva broadcast the warning from a prone position on her cot. She was still exhausted from her ordeal of the previous night. Remember last year there was a prize for getting 7 perfect inspections in a row, Yehudis asked. She had been singing at the top of her lungs, and her bunkmates were relieved that she was taking a break to stand at the side of Chedva's bed and pose a question. Did you hear if they're giving anything this year? Chedva rubbed her eyes. Oh yeah, they mentioned something at the staff meeting. 7 perfect cleanups and the bunk gets a pizza party. Hey, that's not bad, Tippy hooted. Not bad at all. Yehuda stood on her bed and made the announcement to the rest of the group. Did you hear that? 7 perfect cleanups for a pizza party! Then she jumped down and meticulously rearranged her quilt so that it would lie absolutely straight on her cot. Preoccupied with their own chores, no one had taken the time to check out how her neighbors were doing. When the score for Bunk Ahva was posted that second day of camp, the girls were shocked to discover that they had only merited a meager 7. It didn't take them long, though, to identify the source of the problem. Margalit, what's the matter with your bed? Chedva demanded petulantly. Huh? Margalit was momentarily nonplussed. Chedva was getting irritated. You got a cow sleeping in there by any chance? Margalit felt a hot flush starting to burn across her cheeks. They had thought she was funny yesterday. Maybe she could get away with a little joke. No, she returned stoically, I pasture my sheep in there. It's so cold out here, you never know when you might need the wool to make some extra sweaters. To reinforce her point, she reached under the lopsided blanket and yanked out her sheepskin, waving it in the air over her head for emphasis. First, an electric blanket, and now a sheep pasture, not to mention a silver stretch limousine and a chauffeur dressed in full uniform. The girls of Bunk Ahva did not quite know what to make of Margalit. But her joke at least distracted them, and by the time they were heading out to first activity, the Ahva bunch were all chattering gaily. Lunch was tomato soup, salad, and potato latkes. Tippy couldn't believe the coincidence. She watched in astonishment as Khedva drained her entire bowl. The girls she could understand, maybe, but Khedva? Tippi looked into the red depths of her portion. People sometimes told her that she had an overactive imagination, and today she supposed it was probably true. But try as she might, Tippi couldn't bear to dip her spoon into the contents of her dish. Finally, she could stand it no longer. Khedva, what was it that you said you had to sit in all night after you got squirted by the skunk? Khedva wrinkled her nose in distaste. You know, I told you this morning, it was some kind of tomato juice. Then, realizing that her interrogator was Tippi, the notorious Tsiporalea Zandberg, she asked suspiciously, why? Oh, nothing. Just because. Tippi lifted a spoon of tomato soup, tipped it, and let the red liquid dribble slowly back into her bowl. Tomato soup. Tomato juice. She muttered under her breath just loudly enough for everyone to hear. Narrowing her eyes, Khedva watched Tippi fiddling with her soup. She certainly didn't intend to eat it, that was for sure. Finally, Khedva fell into the trap. Something wrong with your soup? She asked. No. All eyes were now on Tippi. You could sense that she had something up her sleeve. I was just wondering. She balanced her chin on her pointed finger in her best imitation of a thinker. Chatter at the table died down. Tippi was now the center of attention. Finally, Khumi couldn't stand the suspense. Well, what were you wondering? I was wondering, Tippi said in a melodramatic voice, what it was exactly that they did with that whole bathtub full of tomato juice when they were finished. You know, she continued, a note of mischief in her voice, how they absolutely hate to waste food in this camp. Shava was the first to clutch her stomach. She was the only one in the bunk who had actually eaten almost a whole bowl of the warm soup. Spoons clattered noisily to the table as one by one the girls of Bunk Ahva realized the implications of Tippi's allegations. Only Olga continued peacefully ladling soup into her mouth, a contented look on her cherubic face. Oh, that's disgusting, the girls agreed. Tsiporalea Zandberg, you're impossible, Khedva fumed. Thank you, Tippi replied modestly. At rest hour, Shalva retired to her bed with what she was convinced was food poisoning. Margalit sprawled on her lumpy mattress, despondently eyeing the 6 partially unpacked designer suitcases on the floor. Khedva had given her until the end of rest hour to empty them and get them stashed out of the way. The remaining members of Bunk Ahva wandered aimlessly around the cabin. Tippi decided that it was the time for the girls to get to know each other better. Come on, everyone, Tippi beckoned. Gather round into a circle on the floor, and we'll play that famous game called Let's Get Acquainted. I never heard of that game before, Khumi commented. Of course you didn't, Yehudis giggled. That's because Tippi invented it herself when she was 8. It's a really good game, though, Yaffa added hurriedly, as she saw a frown beginning to creep across Tippi's freckled face. We usually play it during rest hour on the first full day of camp. Everyone tells a little bit about themselves, Yehudis explained. That way we can all get to know each other better. That sounds like a good idea, Miriam gushed. It was her first time at camp, and she had been feeling kind of shy. The girls drifted to the middle of the cabin and plopped down on the wooden floor. Tippi, as usual, started the conversation rolling. I guess most of you know about me already, Tippi began. After all, I do have a reputation to live up to. She arched and wiggled her eyebrows expressively and smirked at the assembled campers. Old Tsiporalea Zandberg, that red-headed terror, mischief-maker numero uno, and I play a mean game of Machanayim. When the rest of the girls seemed afflicted by tongue-tie-itis, Tippi waved her arms and invited, Step right up! Step right up! Who else would like the great honor of telling something about herself? Miriam raised her hand. I guess I'll be next, she volunteered bravely, running her fingers through her straight brown hair. I live in Baltimore, and it's my first time at sleepaway camp. I never realized it was so cold in New York. Next time, I'll know to bring my winter parka. Yaffa smiled sympathetically. Hey, I was here last year, and I live in New York, and I didn't bring a winter jacket either. I don't remember it ever being as cold during the summer as it was last night. I'm not great at sports, but I love to draw. Yeah, Yehudis waved her arm and proclaimed proudly, You should have seen the great scenery Yaffa helped make last year. She winked at Yaffa and then realized that the girls now expected her to say something about herself. And I'm Yehudis, she added, owner of the voice that's the loudest and the greatest. That provoked a merry smile on everyone's lips. My claim to fame is that I'm the oldest in a family of 8, and the rest are all boys, Chummy contributed. I came here to get a little peace and quiet. A round of chuckles followed this revelation. Shalva had been listening to the conversation from her bed. Rolling over and moaning loudly, she didn't want to be left out. The name's Shalva, she whimpered. I hail from Toronto, the land of moose and polar bears, as you all know. When I recover from this awful case of food poisoning, I might even learn to like it here. I had a really great time last night, if you don't count the part where I almost came down with frostbite. Libby looked around. Most of the other girls had taken their turns. Shyly, she began, I'm from Miami. It's warmer there in the winter than it was here last night. I don't even have a winter parka. I never realized it before, but I sure am glad I don't. Hey, Miami, that's neat. Yehudis was intrigued. Isn't there an ocean down there and everything? Uh-huh. It's just like in the books. There are waves and seashells and palm trees. Libby was getting just a bit homesick. With all that sun and surf, you must be a fabulous swimmer to be enthused. Actually, Libby started to say, but she was interrupted by the irrepressible Tippy. Hey, we can really use a great swimmer in our bunk. There's a water Olympics at the end of the trip, and it's always being won by the bigger kids. Can you dive too? Well, to tell the truth? Sure you can. Boy, is that a silly question. Tippy was so sports-minded that a person with unusual athletic abilities commanded her instant respect. She sauntered over to where Libby was sitting and threw her arm around her shoulders in a comradely fashion. And, she confided gleefully, wait till you see the trophies they give out. The conversation went on to other topics. Libby stared at the bright pink laces of her running shoes and berated herself for not being more forceful. I did try to tell them, she lamented to herself anxiously, but nobody was listening. Now what am I going to do? At the other end of the bunkhouse, Marguerite was faced with a dilemma. Chedva had told her to put away all her stuff, but she hadn't given her a clue as to where it should be stored. Frustrated, she ran her eye over some of the other girls' cubbies. Some were filled to overflowing, but there were a few that had lots of space to spare. As carefully as she could, she combined the contents of the emptier cubbies so that 2 full cubbies were freed up. Then she tried to cram as many of her things as possible into those 2 emptied areas. It wasn't terrific, but at least it was a start. Marguerite now had 3 of her 6 suitcases emptied. She reshuffled the remainder of her possessions and piled them haphazardly under the bed. Relieved to be done with the seemingly insurmountable task, Marguerite began dragging her luggage out onto the porch. As she passed the circle of friends chatting amiably on the floor, Marguerite smiled to herself. Everyone in Bunk Achva appeared to be having a really nice time. It wouldn't be long now before she could finally join them. The discussion had turned to family members. Chumi was telling about the crazy scrapes her brothers had recently gotten into. So there they were, up in the tree, and they couldn't get back down. My father had to call the fire department. Sippy chortled merrily. This was a story after her own heart. She had 2 younger brothers who got into even more mischief than she did, and she decided to get her photo album to show the gang some truly funny snapshots. The cozy gathering was suddenly interrupted by a howl of indignation. Tippy stomped back to the ring of girls and demanded angrily, Okay, whose idea of a joke is this? She was met by a sea of blank faces. Tippy bit her lip and muttered, Look, maybe I deserved it. I sure play enough practical jokes on the rest of you. But I worked so hard getting everything arranged yesterday. Buoyant Tippy looked a little deflated. Her bunkmate stared at her, concerned. Finally, Miriam ventured timidly, Tippy, can you tell us what's the matter? For once, Tippy was rendered speechless. She pointed in great distress to the cubicle in which just yesterday she had so meticulously arranged all of her gear. Now the cubby was occupied by someone else's belongings. Her stuff had vanished. The other residents of Bunk Ahva checked out their own cubbies. More tampering was discovered. "Whose stuff is this anyway?" Chumi asked, puzzled, as she pulled a rainbow array of t-shirts from her shelf. The girls looked at each other, and then their eyes all focused on the one person who had been working in the area all rest hour, who was now innocently struggling out the door with her last overnight bag. Sippy shook her red curls in annoyance. "That girl really has a warped sense of humor." "Look, Sippy," Miriam consoled in a gentle voice, "you have to admit that sometimes people feel the same way about you." Sippy thought that one over. Miriam did have a point. She decided to go along with the prank and see if maybe there was something funny about it that had eluded her. Rest hour was almost over by the time Marguerite took her place among the others. They shifted to make room for her. "So, Marguerite," Sippy tried to be as jovial as possible under the circumstances, "how's the old sheep pasture?" "Okay, I guess," Marguerite smiled nervously. Sippy couldn't help herself. The next word slipped out unbidden and sounded so vehement, so out of character for the normally easygoing camper, that the girl sitting on the floor fidgeted uneasily. "What were your sheep doing pasturing in my cubbyhole anyhow?" Sippy blushed as she clapped her hand to her mouth. She promised herself that she would remember to think before she spoke next time. In the meantime, the words hung in the air, menacing and unfriendly. Marguerite's jaw dropped. "Look, I'm really sorry," Sippy apologized almost immediately. "But why'd you do it, Marguerite?" Marguerite burst into tears. Sippy felt terrible. "Me and my big mouth," she chastised herself unhappily. The tears cascaded down Marguerite's cheeks for several minutes. No one moved. Not knowing what to do, Sippy jumped up to bring Marguerite a tissue. Taking the tissue gratefully, Marguerite blew her nose and explained what had happened. "I couldn't help it," she wailed pitifully. "Khedva told me I had to put my things away, and I really tried. I never should have brought so much, but my parents were out of town, and the maid did all the packing. Your cubbies didn't look so full, and I didn't think you'd mind." Marguerite corrected herself. "That is, I was hoping you wouldn't mind. I really should have asked you first, but I couldn't work up the courage." She sniffed and rubbed her red-rimmed eyes. "I'm so very, very sorry." An awkward silence fell over the group as the girls tried to think of a way to help out their bunkmate. "Come on, you guys," Sippy urged, trying to repair the damage she'd done. "Let's have a powwow and decide what to do with Marguerite's stuff." Yaffa remembered something from her experience with the previous year's scenery committee. "You know," she offered, "there's a gigantic attic over the casino. They store all the scenery up there, and there's still loads of room. Marguerite can sort out the things she needs just for this week and put the rest back in her suitcases. We can all help her carry them over and stash them up there." "That's a great idea." Marguerite heaved an immense sigh of relief. It also solved another problem that she had been afraid to bring up. How was she going to explain to her mother about her designer luggage being stored under the dirty bunkhouse? Now it would be safe and sound up in the attic. Returning to the scene of the crime, Marguerite proceeded to dump the contents of her own cubby and of the two pirated cubbies onto the floor. Emptying the cubicles was the easy part. Now she would have to choose a week's worth of essentials. She surveyed the pile of jumbled clothing helplessly. In the meantime, Sippy and Yaffa trooped out onto the porch to retrieve Marguerite's suitcase. Khedva had been curled up on the bench in front of the bunkhouse writing a letter. Out of the corner of her eye, she had watched with relief as Marguerite's suitcases had gradually made their way onto the porch one by one. As rest hour was ending, she licked the envelope, stamped and sealed it, and was just about to stroll back into the bunkhouse when she noticed an unnerving development. Marguerite's suitcases were retreating back into the bunkhouse, and in the hands of none other than Yaffa and Tzipora Leah Zandberg. Khedva was about to call to the girls when she thought better of the idea. Stalking up the stairs like a sleuth in a mystery novel, she decided to apprehend the culprits in the act. Khadva burst through the bunkhouse door and bellowed in what she hoped was a suitably fearsome tone. "Okay, what's going on here now?" She was greeted by a scene very much like the one she had left a whole hour before. Marguerite was standing in front of a huge mound of clothing, shoes, toiletries, and other assorted articles. 6 suitcases, Khadva counted them twice just to make sure, were in a ring around Marguerite's bed exactly as they had been when rest hour had started. "Maybe I'm getting senile," Khadva worried. "How could I have seen the suitcases moving on and off the porch when they've been here the whole time?" Tippi approached Khadva wearily and looked up into her eyes. "Maybe your encounter with that skunk did you more harm than you realize. Why do you think there's something wrong in here?" Khadva blinked as she gazed shakily around the bunkhouse. 10 innocent pairs of eyes peered back. She shrugged her shoulders helplessly and directed her attention to Marguerite. "Well, it looks like you haven't gotten much done so far," she said. "Do you want me to help you?" "No, everything's under control now," Tippi assured Khadva hastily. Khadva was dubious. "How do you know?" "Oh, it's actually kind of a complicated story," Khomi remarked. "Is it?" Khadva was interested. "There was a slight problem in here," Mariam said in a conciliatory tone, "but we worked it out all by ourselves." "Yeah," Yehudis agreed proudly, "so if Marguerite needs some help, we're all going to help her." The girls drifted over to Marguerite, who was vainly trying to sort through her belongings. It was not hard to see that she hadn't the faintest idea of what to select for the coming week. "Rest hour is up in about 2 minutes," Khadva informed her crew. "If you're going to help her, you'd better get moving at super speed. Mario said the suitcases have to be out of here by tonight." Nava stepped forward. She had been so quiet until now that her bunkmates had barely noticed her. "Why don't you folks all go on to afternoon activity? I'm a pro at packing. My mother's been sick the last few weeks, so I handled all the packing for the whole family. And I did all the shopping, too. I'll help Marguerite sort her stuff in no time flat, and we'll join you before anyone even realizes we're missing." Sighing with relief, the Bunk Achva bunch headed out to their first afternoon activity, arts and crafts. It was still way too cold to go swimming. And true to her word, Nava arrived with Marguerite in tow within half an hour. The suitcases sat in the bunkhouse until just before supper. As the announcement was made for everyone to gather at the dining hall and the masses started lining up near the main house, a convoy of suitcases left Bunk Achva in the direction of the casino. By the time supper was being doled out and the girls of Bunk Achva were taking their seats around the table, the suitcases seemed to have vanished into thin air.